Please get your Bibles out this morning and take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. And I want you to stand when you get to Proverbs chapter 21. And we'll look at the very last verse found in that chapter, verse number 31. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 31 this morning. That'll be our text. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 31. The Bible says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The title of my message this morning is Safety is of the Lord. Just what the text says. And I hope God will help you and encourage you and inform you with this message today. So let's bow our head and let's close our eyes. And I'm going to ask Brother Mark Brantley, would you please pray that God would bless this service and help us today?
God, thank you for the day. Just thank you for another opportunity just to come and hear your word.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. We're still able to do this, Father.
Amen.
I ask you to be with Brother Dennis this morning as he brings a message, give him the word to say, Father, just calm our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Help us just to keep our eyes on you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Amidst all the junk that's going on in this world.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for being so good to us. Thank you
Amen.
For saving me.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Now, I want to go ahead and tell you this morning, I'm not going to spend a lot of time looking at other verses found in the Bible that support this scriptural principle that I will be speaking on today, although I certainly could do that. And I'm not going to take an hour and try to convince you that God is still in control of everything, although we know that He is. Amen. I just want to look at this one verse this morning. And I want us to glean a truth from this verse. It's a principle that every born-again child of God needs to understand, and you need to take refuge in this principle here this morning, in this teaching, especially considering what is happening in our country at this very moment. So in this passage, we have just stood together and we read it together. We find two parts, are the responsibilities when it comes to staying safe. That's what everybody is concerned about right now in this country. Everybody wants to be safe. They want to stay safe. Well, I just told you what the Bible says about where safety comes from. And I hope you'll remember that. You will find man's part in this verse, or man's responsibility in this verse, and then you will see God's responsibility in this verse. You'll see man's part and his responsibility, and you'll see God's promise and his responsibility. And so I want to look at this here this morning, and I want you to get a balanced view. Many times what a Christian needs, I don't care if it's over a theological issue or something practical or whatever, Christians are known to get out of balance. You lean too far one way or the other. There is a balanced way to look at your life, and I'm not just going to be talking about the virus that's going around right now, although that's going to be definitely part of the subject I'm going to address this morning, but I'm talking about your entire Christian life. In your entire Christian life, you need to come to an understanding of something. Man has a responsibility, and God has a responsibility, and when it's up to God to do something, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you're saved and you're a born-again child of God, you ought to be able to trust Him.
Amen.
And if you can't trust Him, you can't trust nobody.
Amen.
Don't listen to the news. Listen to the King James Bible.
Amen.
Get your health and strength and comfort from Him. I'm not asking you to be stupid. And I'm going to show you that in the message here in a moment. But you will find in this one little verse, the very last verse in this chapter in Proverbs, it will show you the right perspective, the right truth, the right way to look at things, anything that comes along in your life. So first of all, I want to do this morning. I want to look at man's part, and then secondly, we'll look at God's part. Man's part. Man's part is preparation. Now, isn't that what the Bible says here in this verse? It says the horse is prepared against the day of battle. There's battle coming up. It says, man, prepare your horse. You might want to feed them. You might want to water them. Might want to put the armor on them. Might want to have the right stirrups, the right saddle. Prepare your horse. Get him ready. Do all you can to get him ready for the battle. That is the responsibility of a man, to do what he can as God has given him the wisdom to do it? Has God has given you the strength to do it? Has God has given you the abilities to do it? You prepare and do what you can. I'll show you a few things that I'm talking about from the, I'm going to start at ground zero and go through a few things, and then I'll show you God's part on it in a minute of the same things. And I want to draw you at the end of this thing, conclude it, and get you to thinking like you're supposed to be thinking, not like the world thinks. A Christian ought to think differently in times like this than the world thinks. We have a hope. Now, when it comes to salvation, man has a part. In salvation, you are to hear the gospel. You are to believe the gospel. Amen? That's your part in salvation. You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, and the Bible says in Amos chapter 4, verse number 12, prepare. There's that word, prepare. It says the horse is prepared for the day of battle, okay? Prepare to meet thy God. You need to realize one day you're going to die and you're going to stand before God, and he's either going to put you in heaven forever or he's going to put you in hell forever. That's your responsibility as a man to know that. Now, you've been given the cure to keep you out of hell. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility to respond to the gospel with faith. God gives every man a measure of faith. The faith is not even of our own. But when we respond to it, he'll give us enough faith to believe the gospel, to be saved. That's man's part. Realize that we are a sinner. Realize that we are heading for hell. Realize that we can't save ourselves. That nothing we can do, no works, no good merits, nothing can save us. That's man's part. When it comes to soul winning, don't we say the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise? Shouldn't we do it? So what is my part in soul winning? I'm like the farmer. The farmer sows the seed. He plows. He fertilizes. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get the seed out of the barn. I'm supposed to get out there and sow, and not sow sparingly. I'm supposed to sow with all that I can. And so that's my responsibility when it comes to employment. What am I supposed to do at my job? Be honest, show up on time, and work hard. Right? I mean, that's my responsibility, to be honest, to show up at work on time, and to work hard. My daddy always said, he said, boy, there's a difference between a lazy man and a sorry man. I said, Daddy, what's that? He said, well, a sorry man won't go to work. He won't work. He won't keep a job. He said, a lazy man, he'll go to work, but when he gets there, he won't do anything. A lot of truth to that, ain't it? So your job as an employee, when it comes to protecting your family, everybody's concerned right now about protection. We don't want to get the coronavirus, okay? But we think about, it's my job as a man, and I believe it's your job as a man to protect your family and protect your house. Amen? Everybody agree with that? I mean, you ain't watched enough news now and lost your position on that, have you? It's not the government's job. You can do several things. You can buy a security system on your house if you want to. Buy you a gun. Go out to the target range every once in a while and shoot it. Or if you're going to come in this church unannounced, tell Miss Monette you're coming in here. You come in on Miss Monette, she don't know you're in here, might get you. That's right. Might get shot. That's your responsibility. Let her know you're coming into church. That's everybody all right? Everybody just exhale. You're uptight here this morning. It's all right. You just let this coronavirus and all this mess get you all uptight. Just everybody just relax. Everybody okay? I tell you what, let's do before I continue this thing. Everybody just exhale. Just that make you feel better? Not too much? Okay. When it comes to natural disasters, things happen all the time, don't they? Buy you a weather radio. That's fun to beep, 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 beep. National Weather Service says that a tornado is like one block from your house. I mean, but get one. Get you a fire alarm. I think that's a good thing to do. Build you a tornado shelter. Hey, amen. I'm making this real practical, and I'm going to show you what I'm trying to do here in a moment. Just stay with me until we get there, okay? The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Do what you can. I'm not against it. God is not against it. I believe it's a scriptural principle that a man takes the intellect and the abilities and the finances and the wisdom and everything God's given him, and he does the best he can for whatever life throws at him. Amen. When it comes to your general ways to prepare for safety, wear a seatbelt. Somebody say, I don't want to wear a seatbelt. I understand what you're saying. It traps so-and-so in the car or whatever. You do the studies. More people survive. Way more people survive with a seatbelt than that don't. Now, if you say, well, that's just, you know, America will not tell us how to wear what to do. All right. You might want to pray about a little rebellion you got in your heart. Let me tell you something. There's got to be a lot more coming down the pipe that you're going to need to be concerned about with the government getting in your life than telling you to wear a seatbelt. Amen. Now, if you don't want to wear a seatbelt, cut it out. You can get the ticket. What is it? Click it or ticket? Ticket or click it or something or another. Be cautious of down power lines. Amen. Isn't that using common sense? Have a security team at the church. We got one. I trust them as much as anybody's security team. We lock the doors at a certain point. We have men out in this hall looking and watching for us. I'm for it. I believe in it. Listen, exercise as much as you can. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Exercise. Eat right. Lord knows I need to eat better. Exercise. Eat right. Get the right kind of sleep. Get your checkups. All that is good. Listen, that's your part. But you can't do God's part. And God's not going to do your part that he wants you to do. You prepare the horse for the day of battle. But you know who wins the victory? Do you know who is responsible for winning the battle? Not the man that fights it. Our God in heaven. He told you, he says, get your horse ready, saddle it up, get it ready, get ready to go. Be prepared. But remember this, every Christian in here, remember this morning. Ultimately, when the day is done and the dust settles and the smoke clears, safety is of the Lord. Not you, not me. That's out of our hands. Some of the same things we just mentioned. I just told you man's responsibility is to hear the gospel. When the Spirit of God deals with him, repent of his unbelief. Be saved. You know what's God's responsibility? He does the saving. You can't save yourself. It's his responsibility to save you. And to keep you, the Bible says we're kept by the power of God, not your power. Only God can save a man. You can't save yourself. Only he can save it. That's his responsibility. That's his part. When it comes to reaching souls, you plant, you water, you fertilize, but the Bible says that God gives the increase. I'm not judged by how many souls I win to the Lord. God does all the saving. I'm judged by how much I got the gospel out when I was able to. That's what this church won't be judged by, how many people we won to the Lord. You as an individual won't be judged by how many people you led to the Lord. We will be judged with what we did with the opportunity, because it's up to that man to receive Christ. Salvation's of God. I'm just to be available and do what he's called me to do. When it comes to serving God, we serve God. We read our Bible. Well, what is man's part in serving God? Pray, obey God, do what he tells you to do, read your Bible, trust God for wisdom. But listen, God blesses the obedient children. God builds the church, or he doesn't build the church. I'm glad when whatever happened to me when I had my little breakdown, one thing that I'm glad of, I gave this church to God. Amen. This church is in God's hands. It's not mine anymore. Nobody in this church is going to make me feel bad about any, make me feel good about any success we have, and you're not going to make me feel bad about any failure we have. I'm going to pray and trust God and stay on my knees and love you people and pray for you people, and I'm going to be ready to preach every time it's my time to get up here. But at the end of the day, God will build the church or he won't. We're not going to try to have some kind of big to-do, big program in here to look like we're growing when we're not. We're going to keep a sound, Bible-believing church. And as God saves people and brings them in, hallelujah. And if he don't bring them in, hallelujah. And if you're just looking for a motivational speaker or somebody to get the attendance up, you've called the wrong man. I'm here to do the work of God and to pastor you and to love you. God builds the church. God does it. And boy, the day that I finally got that through my thick head was the day my blood pressure went straight down. Really? I probably can get off some of that blood pressure medicine now. Amen. God does it. Employment. You work hard, but listen, God say, and God does say in all labor, there is profit. But God, listen, God blesses what you hold to. Some people can touch money and everything they touch turns to gold. You ever heard of that? Everything we touch turns to dirt. Amen? Some people just got it. Don't worry about that. You just work hard. You do your best. You try to do your best at your job. You go get the training you're supposed to get. Do your best. But it's up to God about how prosperous you become. That stuff Benny Hinn and Joyce Myers and all that junk they tell you on TV, that's full of the devil. Everybody that works hard and puts their money in the plate and all that kind of stuff, they don't get rich. They may die just as poor as they were 20 years ago when they started giving to the church. I don't give to the church to get rich. If you're giving to this church to get rich, stop giving. You ought to be giving this church to please the Lord Jesus Christ so you can put money into things so we can get something done for him. That's the only reason you ought to give. Not to get something in return from God. That's not the right motive. Now think about your gun. Now it's fixing to get real quiet in here. And that's okay because I believe with all my heart I'm right about this. I've had a gun, by the way, ever since I remember being in this world. I've got a pistol in my house, loaded by my bed in a drawer. And if I hear you coming through the door, I've got enough time to get it. But what happens is the fella breaks in and he's waiting there for me before I ever get there. I can't tell he's broke in. I can't whatever. I got my pistol. I bet you do. Open up your closet. He puts one right here. What happens if he beats me to the draw? What happens if I've been to the range and I've got my pistol, I got my permit, and I'm ready. And when he comes down the hall, your pistol goes click and his doesn't. Some of you put way too much dependence in your guns. You walk around like you're some kind of white earp or something. That pistol, I got it, man. I got a shotgun, rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can't survive. I've got all of it. I've got a rifle, shotgun, and a four-wheel drive I pulled up out there on. Country boy cannot survive. I know you don't like that. Exhale, you'll get over it. A country boy or a city boy cannot survive because safety is not of Smith & Wesson. Safety is not of Remington. Safety is of the Lord. You go around, you pack all your pistols you want to, and you talk about what kind of great security team we got here, and we do have a great security team. But if God don't protect us, somebody will come in here today and kill 50 of us before we can get out of here. I don't care what kind of security we got or how many people's in here packing pistols. Bless God, if anybody ever does come in here, I'm ducking. Probably shoot 10 people and the intruder. You put too much stock in your weapons. I know this is hard for some of you, but if you'll just relax and get over being angry right now, you know I'm right. Everybody always talks about, well, I don't know what China's going to get us. What about North Korea? What about the terrorists? Let me tell you something, folks. God can protect this country from the Chinese. He can protect this country from the terrorists. He can protect this country from North Korea. But you tell me something. Who is going to protect us from God? Nobody. The horse is prepared for the day of battle. Put your pistol in your pocket. I don't care. Load it. Keep it by your bed. That pistol will not protect you if God don't do it. It won't do it. God God is the one that allows you to survive or not survive an accident of any kind. Of any kind. God decides about the weather. He can send 3 inches of rain in an hour, or he can let 50,000 acres burn up just like that. Safety is of the Lord. And you will not manipulate it. You can do what he told you to do. You can plan. You can prepare. You can take your mind and use common sense and do just as much as you can. But at the end of the day, listen to me, at the end of the day, it is all up to God. And if you're in here this morning, you're saved, that ought to bring comfort to you, not fear. I'm glad it's not up to my pistol. It's not up to my intellect. It's not up to my ability. It's not up to the doctor or the Center for Disease Control or anybody else. It's up to God. He's the one in control. God ultimately, listen, go to the gym. I think you should. I need to get in there. You need to walk. You need to exercise. You need to eat right. Yes, healthy people die every day. God will ultimately decide how healthy you are and how long you live. It's in his hands. You plan and prepare reasonably, and God protects from the coronavirus as he sees fit. Now you say, what about the coronavirus? What would you tell us to do as a church? Well, prepare. Here's your side in it. Buy some supplies. Be cautious of crowds. Yeah. Wash your hands when you think about it. But none of that will protect you if God doesn't do it. You got to trust God. Listen, don't act like the world in this thing. Don't stay glued to the TV. Don't buy 80 rolls of toilet paper. A fellow over here ain't even got 2. You know why you got 80 at your house? Don't make the Sears and Roebuck catalog anymore. Corn cobs are in short supply. And then if a fellow has to buy corn cobs again, then he's got to go get some preparation H. We need toilet paper. It's all right. You can smile at that. Some of you look like you look as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. It's God's responsibility to protect you and keep you safe. You prepare the horse. You prepare for battle. But only God gives you the victory. Think for a moment, church. Let's just think for a moment. I want you to think of all the things that were supposed to destroy us. It was supposed to be the end of the world as we know it. I'm not going way back in history. I'm going back in my short lifetime. I was born in 1970. I'm 49 years old. These are just the things I can remember. These are not even the things. There's things I can't remember. What about Y2K? The computers were going to take over. They were going to shut down. You couldn't do anything. I don't know about you, but I went to bed that night. And when I woke up the next day and I got up, ain't a thing changed. The West Nile virus. Skeeter's going to kill everybody. The bird flu. I reckon when you got that, you're going to grow a bill and start doing this. The swine flu. Terrorist attacks. Anthrax attacks. That's in my lifetime. I'm not even mentioning all the wildfires and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the natural disasters that I've lived through. Me and my wife wasn't married very long, and a hurricane came down there where I'm through. The eye of it came over our city. Sustained winds at 100 miles an hour, gusting up to 120. Hurricane Opal. My wife was so scared. And she is a strong woman, but where she came from in Pennsylvania, they don't have stuff like that. We were in the hallway with a mattress over us. We rode it out with my mom and dad. We couldn't get out the front door because a tree fell on my car and blocked the door in where we couldn't get out. I'm telling you what, when that wind would gust, man, it felt like that house was going like it was going to blow up. He said, what do we do? Well, we got there at the house. We got there about the time the thing started hitting and the lights went out and all that kind of stuff. Got in the hall, got some mattresses out, got on it, and just... That's all you can do. The rest is up to the Lord. I know one thing we shouldn't do, panic. You can trust God and His Word. This is what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You can trust God and His Word, or you can let the media kill you. Just stress you to death. I have something I want to read to you. I found that this is now circulating again because of what all is going on. And some preachers are mentioning it. And it's coming, it's real good. This was something, a letter that was sent out by Martin Luther in 1527. And at that time they had the bubonic plague going on. Now let me tell you about the bubonic plague, otherwise called the Black Death. It's probably a conservative estimate that over the years, I mean there was some of it in the 1500s, 1700s, different places. The bubonic plague, the Black Death, has killed probably 25 million people. And in 1527, the bubonic plague wound up, it was found in Wittenberg. That's the small town where Martin Luther was based. You know, that's where he, the reformer, he nailed his 95 theses to the castle church door there. That was in Wittenberg. And so the Wittenberg University got closed. That sound familiar to you? Luther was urged to leave by his greatest supporter. He said, you need to get out of here. And as a bunch of pastors came to him, they said, you need to make a, you know, because he was the lead man. They said, you need to make a statement about this. You need to say something about this. So he sends out a thing, and the title of it is translated for us, I guess, in English would be, Whether One May Flee a Deadly Plague. And when the printer got ready to do it, he just put on there, Whether One May Flee Death. So this is what Luther writes a little bit, and I'm not going to go over all of it, just tell you a little bit. He says, this I well know, that if it were Christ or his mother were laid low by illness, everybody would be so solicitous, and would gladly become a servant or helper. Everyone would want to be bold and fearless. Nobody would flee, but everyone would come running. If you wish to serve Christ and to wait on him, very well. You have your sick neighbor close at hand. Go to him and serve him, and you will surely find Christ in him. He's saying, look, I know there's people dying with this stuff, but I want to help. But he takes a very good neutral approach on it. He says, to begin with, some people are of the firm option that one need not and should not run away from a deadly plague. Rather, since death is God's punishment, which he sends upon us for our sins, we must submit to God and with a true and firm faith patiently await our punishment. Others take the position that one may properly flee, particularly if one hold no public office. Since it is generally true of Christians that few are strong and many are weak, one simply cannot place the same burden upon everyone. He said, I don't place this burden upon you. What I decide to do may not be what you decide to do. That's called Christian liberty. That's called a man going by his conscience and going by what God speaks to him about. But he makes some good points, and I want to read this. This is what he said now about the bubonic plague. This is a letter he put out in 1527. Those who are engaged in a spiritual ministry and pastors must remain steadfast before the peril of death. We have a plain command from Christ. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I feel compelled as a pastor that I can't run and should not run. It should not hide. It should not stay away, no matter what I get. Now, you don't have to feel that way. You can look at it entirely different. But my job as a pastor, see, I'm not just a preacher. We got too many preachers. We don't have many pastors. My job as a pastor is to protect my sheep, lead my sheep, and if it have to, die with my sheep. And I feel compelled that that's my position on this coronavirus or anything else. He goes on a little bit farther. He says, likewise, fathers and mothers are bound by God's law to serve and help their children, and children their fathers and mothers, and so on and so on, and he goes over all that. And then he said this, he said, where there was no need for additional helpers, he says, just let the sick, and if the sick people didn't want them or need them, he said, let them flee. That was fine. Martin was about Christian liberty. But after he writes this letter, he gets to the end of it. This is what I want you to hear. Finally, when he gets toward the, right at the end of the letter he sends out, this is what he says. He says basically this, I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. The main thing you need to do in all of this with this bubonic plague going on, he says, is you prepare yourself for your death. Now, he told them that because this thing right here, this is child's play, what's going on. What he's talking about is a true epidemic, not something put on the radio or the news. This is a true epidemic that's killing everybody around them. And he said, the main thing I can tell you in this is, since you don't know who's going to get it or who has it or whatever, take caution. If you want to flee the city, leave. If you want to stay, stay. That's entirely up to your Christian liberty. He said, but the thing I will tell for all of you is, be prepared to die. And I say that to every Christian, no matter if we got coronavirus or not. Coronavirus may not get none of us, but something else will. And all this hysteria and panic, for God's sake, won't you think about that I could die of something that ain't got anything to do with a virus. I need to be ready to die at a moment from anything. Excuse me. So I want to end here this morning by saying this. As a church, we are responsible as children of God, I believe, to plan, prepare, and protect our loved ones and protect ourselves as much as possible. Can you say amen to that? Yes. I believe we should. God gives us wisdom. God gives us resources. God gives us abilities to do so. But listen to me, church. Listen, ultimately, safety is always of the Lord. Always of the Lord. So I'll ask you a couple of questions. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him this morning? Do you? Do you believe that He's in complete control? Then I ask you to do this, church. Act like it. The lost world is watching you. Act like it. Don't act like the world, church. The world should be afraid. They should be scared of everything. They don't have a God to protect. They should be scared. They don't have a God to protect. They don't have a heaven to go to. Amen. But not us. Not us. Since the world that you are so concerned about right now and what they're saying about this thing, why don't you trust God and show the world that you as a Christian have help, and you as a Christian have hope. Because they have no help and hope. And they need it. And we ought to give it to them. Don't be stupid and worry about what other Christians think or say about you. What you decide to do or don't decide to do. I'm not going to make any plans on this church based on any other pastor. I don't care if they can talk about me. Well, you shouldn't shut down this. You should do this. Listen, man, they don't answer to God for this stuff. And you don't let no other Christians bother you about it. You do what you believe God would have you to do. But listen, don't walk around in fear. That's not of God. You prepare yourself. You do what you can. But at the end of the day, you've got to realize you're God's child, and He will make the final decision about what happens to you and what doesn't happen to you. Paul told that young preacher Timothy over there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, he says, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Walking around in panic and fear is not of God, and it's not a sound mind. May God help you to get the truth of this very simple but yet important spiritual truth that we've got from the scripture this morning. And I want you to walk out of here and do what you should, but don't walk out of here afraid. You trust God. He's got it. And He ain't never going to not have it. And you say, the thing that scares me, Brother Dennis, is I don't know what's going to happen. Well, who cares? He does. What good would it do for us to know what's going to happen when we don't have the power to do anything about it anyway? The one that knows what's going to happen, that's got you in His hand, and He loves you. You're part of Him. He's in you. You're in Him. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and nothing's going to happen unless He allows it. And I don't know what all is ultimately going to happen, but I know this one thing. All of us in here that saved, one day are going to wind up there with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. The coronavirus will be in hell with everybody else. Amen. Every head bowed and eye closed.